A large-scale battle between two factions of the royal clan of the Kurus in the days of Krishna provided the context for the Bhagavad Gita. The people belonging to this Kuru clan were called Kauravas. The battle was waged between 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, collectively referred to as Dhartarashtras, and the 5 sons of Pandu, called Pandavas. The entire Mahabharata, in which the Gita is placed, is a piece of literature, drama. Thus the author, Vyasa, had the freedom to use his imagination creatively. He did this by weaving the whole tapestry of this huge epic around a few historical events and characters. So who are Kauravas? When Dhritarashtra and Pandu, the sons of Vichitravirya, came of age, Bhishma had to install one of them as the king to rule the Kauravas. Although Dhritarashtra was older than Pandu, he was not eligible to rule because he was blind. According to the Dharma Shastra, which states exactly who can and cannot rule, ruling a kingdom being a very responsible and difficult job, a king should have all his faculties intact. Pandu, therefore, became a ruler. Pandu was a great man, and he ruled well. He respected his older brother Dhritarashtra and gave him the full status of a king, even though he could not actually rule. Pandu went on a Digvijaya, going in all the directions and conquering the rulers of various kingdoms and bringing them under one's subjugation, and brought in wealth and prosperity to the kingdom. He also extended the frontiers of his kingdom. Once, Pandu decided to go to the forest along with his wives, Kunti and Madri, and a huge retinue, to hunt and enjoy the life of living in the forest. There, he came across a pair of deer which were sporting together. Without thinking, he shot arrows at them and mortally wounded them. At that instant, the pair of deer took on their original forms of Rishi and his wife. They had assumed the form of deer and were cavorting freely. Then the Rishi, by the name of Kindama, cursed Pandu that if ever he would unite with his wife, he would die instantaneously and hence would never be able to beget children. After this, Pandu renounced his kingdom and took to an ascetic way of life in the forest along with his wives. He observed many kinds of austerities, and his wives Kunti and Madri also practiced the austerities along with him. Thus, all three of them lived a life befitting the Vanaprasthashrama. The fact that he could not beget any children was a source of great sorrow to Pandu. His wife Kunti had been given a mantra as a boon by the sage Durvasas once, when she had served him very well. This mantra had the power to bring any god to her and bless her with a son. Therefore, at Pandu's behest, she gave birth to 3 sons, Dharmaputra, Bhima, and Arjuna, using the mantra. She also helped Madri to beget the twins, Nakula and Sahadeva, using the mantra. Later, being unable to resist the temptation when Pandu tried to approach Madri, the Rishi's curse took effect and he died. Because she had been instrumental in causing Pandu to die, Madri put an end to her life by committing sati after entrusting her 2 sons to the care of Kunti. After this, the rishis in the forest brought Kunti and the 5 sons of Pandu to Hastinapura and entrusted them to the care of elders of the Kuru clan. The entire Kuru clan accepted the 5 brothers as the rightful heirs of Pandu. Bhishma entrusted Dronacharya with the task of education and training in archery and warfare of all the princes, the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra and the 5 sons of Pandu. After their education was completed, they all demonstrated their skills in public during their graduation ceremony. Then, by the unanimous decision of all the elders, Dharmaputra, the oldest of the Pandavas, was installed as the crown prince and was entrusted with the responsibility of ruling the kingdom. Dharmaputra, also known as by the name Yudhishthira, was committed to a life of dharma, to what was right, even at the cost of his own welfare. Because Dharmaputra was born by the grace of Lord Yama, he was also called Dharmaraja. The second son, a man of valor and strength, he was born by the grace of Lord Vayu. He also had a great heart and was committed to dharma. Then there was Arjuna, the most versatile of them all. Not only a master archer, Arjuna had a thorough grasp of logistics. He knew all about warfare, how to organize an army, how to advance, how to fight. There is a Shastra for all of this, explaining the various ways to arrange an army into appropriate formations, vyuhas, so that when the front lines are gone, there are other lines to back them up. All of this requires a lot of study and understanding. Besides being an expert in warfare, Arjuna was very adept in performing fine arts. He was a great dancer, musician, and a man of great name and fame, committed to dharma. Nakula, a younger brother to these three, was also an archer. Sahadeva, the youngest, was considered to be a wise man, a gnani, and a great astrologer. Nakula and Sahadeva were twins born to Madri by the grace of the twins gods, Ashwini Kumaras, the celestial physicians. When it became obvious that war with Duryodhana was inevitable, Dharmaputra asked Sahadeva when the Pandavas should begin the war against their cousin Duryodhana so as to win. Sahadeva gave his brother a certain time. Duryodhana, having the same respect for Sahadeva and his integrity, also asked for an appropriate time to begin the war against the Pandavas. Sahadeva naturally gave Duryodhana a time meant to make the war go into his favor. This one episode alone in the Mahabharata presents Sahadeva as an extraordinary person with all the additional qualifications of a prince, such as skill in archery and warfare. However, thanks to Lord Krishna's grace, Duryodhana could not start the war on time. Together, Dharmaputra and his 4 younger brothers, committed to the law of dharma, ruled the kingdom very well, and all the citizens were very happy. One and all showered praise and accolades on the Pandavas. This marked the beginning of all the problems, because the sons of Dhritarashtra, especially Duryodhana, were very jealous of them and did not accept the Pandavas as rulers. They did whatever they could to see that the Pandavas were always in trouble, even though, as princes, the Dhritarashtras were treated very well by the ruling Pandavas. Duryodhana's jealousy. The Pandavas grew up in the same palace with their cousins, the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. Even as children, Duryodhana and his brothers were jealous of the Pandavas and would gang up and try to destroy them. Therefore, the Pandavas always grew up in the midst of great jealousy and constant fighting. They tried to understand that their cousins were jealous and accommodated them as best they could. Now that the people were happy that Dharmaputra was their crown prince, Duryodhana's jealousy knew no bounds. From the time Dharmaputra became the crown prince, Duryodhana began scheming for the throne. He plotted with his uncle Shakuni, Karna, and his brothers to kill the Pandavas. With the silent approval of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana plotted to kill the Pandavas at Varanavata. Dhritarashtra sent them to Varanavata under the pretext of asking them to preside over an Utsava. By the way, Shakuni was the brother of Gandhari, Duryodhana's mother. He was the wild schemer who advised Duryodhana in his actions against Pandavas. Karna was actually the son of Kunti, born to her by the grace of Lord Sun, when she had experimented with the mantra given by the sage Durvasas to her when she was a young unmarried girl. When the child was born, being afraid of the society, she placed the child in a basket and floated it away in the river Ganga. This child was found and raised by a charioteer as his son. Karna was very valorous and grew up into a fine archer. He came to the graduation ceremony of the Kuru princess to prove himself and gain some acceptance. He challenged Arjuna, but he was not allowed to participate on the grounds that he was not a Kshatriya. When he thus stood humiliated, Duryodhana came to his rescue and crowned him as the king of Angadesha. Since then, he became the most devoted friend of Duryodhana. So Duryodhana plotted to kill the Pandavas at Varanavata. Dhritarashtra sent them to Varanavata under the pretext of asking them to preside over an Utsava festival. Duryodhana had already built a palace made of inflammatory substances for their stay and had sent one of his agents with the instruction that an opportune moment he should set fire to the palace so that it would look like an accident. This would lead to the end of the Pandavas. But Vidura, who already knew about this plot, warned them and made secret arrangements for their escape. Vidura was another brother of Pandu and Dhritarashtra. He was born to a servant maid and was not entitled to rule the kingdom. He was a minister to the king and was a great soul. He was Dharma incarnate. Many a time he tried to give good advice to Dhritarashtra. So everybody assumed that the Pandavas had perished in the fire, except Vidura. No one knew of their escape. The Pandavas lived incognito for some time and went to the Swayamvara of Draupadi, who was the daughter of the king of Panchala. Arjuna won the test and all five of them married Draupadi and came back to Hastinapura. This time the elders of the Kuru family decided to put an end to the conflict by dividing the kingdom into two halves, one each for the Dhritarashtras and the Pandavas. The most undeveloped and unproductive part of the country, called Khandavaprastha, was given to Pandavas as their share. Hastinapura itself, with the developed productive lands around it, went to the Dhritarashtras. But they accepted the deal and went to Khandavaprastha. With the help of Lord Krishna, Lord Indra, and the divine architects, the Pandavas made the land fertile and built a very beautiful capital for themselves. It was called Indraprastha. Yudhishthira sent his brothers in all directions for Digvijaya, and they in turn brought in wealth and made their country prosperous and powerful. Dharmaputra was asked by Vyasa to perform a great yagna called Rajasuya, in which money and food were to be distributed. In that yagna, Duryodhana was in charge of distributing the money. He was known to be generous, and if it was someone else's money, he gave even more. Everyone participated in the yagna in some way or other, and this was Duryodhana's contribution to it. After the yagna, people began praising Dharmaputra and his brothers. This made Duryodhana even more jealous. He could not bear to see the prosperity of the Pandavas. He wanted Indraprastha for himself, but he knew he could not win a war with Pandavas. Shakuni advised him to invite Dharmaputra for a game of dice. and said that he would play on behalf of Duryodhana and win for him Indraprastha and all that the Pandavas owned. With his father's consent, Duryodhana invited Dharmaputra for a game of dice. Shakuni's plan worked. Dharmaputra lost everything. Game of dice, Dharmaputra's weakness. Dharmaputra accepted the invitation for a game of dice because it was considered to be a Kshatriya Dharma not to refuse an invitation to a game of dice. Apart from that, he had a liking to it. It was his weakness. But he had not bargained for playing against Shakuni, who was an expert in the game. Dharmaputra was no match for Shakuni even in a fair game, but Shakuni had no intentions of playing fair. Not knowing that Shakuni had loaded the dice, Dharmaputra thought that with every subsequent throw he would recover what he had lost. Instead, being goaded by Shakuni to stake more and more, he lost the crown, the kingdom, his brothers, himself, and everything, even his wife, Draupadi, who was also considered to be part of his wealth. Shakuni baited Dharmaputra to stake Draupadi in an attempt to regain all that he had lost. A gambler's thinking being what it is, Dharmaputra thought that this at last would work, and in that stake, he lost her too. All the stories in the Mahabharata point out either certain human virtues or weaknesses. This story reveals that playing the game of dice is a weakness and that a gambler gambles everything. There is a value here and the value is to be understood. Dharmaputra's weakness was gambling and he paid dearly for it. The story then continues to tell how Draupadi was drawn into the court where she was insulted and attacked by Duryodhana's brother, Dushasana. While she was being disrobed, Krishna helped her by continuing to lengthen her sari until her attacker finally became exhausted by his efforts. Although she had sympathetic support, no one else was able to help her because of Dharma. Dharmaputra had staked his wife and lost her to another. Whatever he did with her or allowed to be done to her was his right. Because of their commitment to Dharma, the furious Pandavas had to remain helpless, witnesses, controlling themselves from doing anything to stop the Dushasana's malicious act. Krishna's grace was Draupadi's only support, which saved her from further humiliation. Pandava's exile. The Pandavas felt humiliated. The other four brothers were bound by love and honor to Dharmaputra. That prevented them from killing Duryodhana and others then and there. So they stood there with suppressed anger and frustration, and Draupadi appealed to the elders in the assembly for justice. Many signs of ill omens appeared at that time. Then Bhima declared that he would kill Duryodhana and Dushasana in a war later. Arjuna declared that he would kill Karna. Sahadeva vowed to kill Shakuni. Nakula in turn vowed to kill Shakuni's son. These declarations were terrible and frightening. Dhritarashtra lost his nerve and promised Draupadi he would offer everything back to the Pandavas. They should forgive and forget and go back to Indraprastha. Then Bhishma, Drona and other respected elders too told Duryodhana that what had happened was wrong and Dharmaputra should continue to rule the kingdom. But Duryodhana would not budge an inch. Then everyone agreed to play one more game with the condition that if the Pandavas won, they would get their kingdom back. If they lost, they would go to the forest for 12 years, during which time Duryodhana would rule the kingdom. After their return, however, the kingdom was to be given back to the Pandavas. Duryodhana agreed to this condition with one amendment, that is, For one additional year, the Pandavas should live somewhere incognito without being recognized by anyone. If any one of them was discovered, they would all have to serve another period of 12 years in the forest plus one more year living incognito. In this way, Duryodhana was certain that he could send the Pandavas back into exile for 13 more years because he had so many spies moving about the kingdom. At least one of the Pandavas would surely be recognized, he thought. Thus, the Pandavas lived for 12 years in the forest and one more year incognito in the kingdom of Virata. Each of them got employed in the king's palace, Dharmaputra as a companion to the king, Bhima as a special cook, Arjuna as the teacher of dance and music to the women. Arjuna had been cursed by the celestial damsel Urvashi that he should lose his masculinity. Lord Indra had modified that curse to take effect for a period of 1 year whenever he chose. Thus, Arjuna opted for it to take effect for this period of Ajnatavasa. He taught music and dance to the royal ladies of the king of Virata. In this way, the Pandavas lived out the remaining year unrecognized by anyone. Duryodhana had suspected their presence in Virata and he engineered a border skirmish in order to bring them out into the open. Arjuna did come out along with the prince of Virata, but the 1 year period had just expired. Bhishma was the one who told Duryodhana that according to the lunar calendar, the period was indeed over. However, all that came out of Duryodhana's scheme was that Arjuna gave Duryodhana, his people, Karna and others a good scare. It was a great day for Arjuna, one he had been long awaiting. Thank you.